Gotta check it with my wife, cause she knows which buttons to push. More than you may know. So, anyhow, praise God. As you know, last week we're going to be picking up where we left off about hope. See, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as somebody who's been filled with the Holy Ghost, as somebody who has these great promises, we have a hope that is way different than the hope of the world. The hope of the world only sees the tangible. They only hope for their 401k thing. They only hope for their job to be there next week. They only hope that their car is going to break. They only hope that their wife's going to like them next week, or their husband's going to like them next week. They hope those things. But we have a hope that's much greater than that. See, our hope rests upon our faith, our knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Most High God. He never fails.
Praise God.
He never fails. And with that hope, that is a gift of hope that comes from the charity of God. As you come to know Him personally, as you start to walk with Him, as you start to allow Him to test you. I would say test God, but don't test God. Alright? As you allow Him to test you, you find out that He is faithful. Every time. Every time. If I fall, He's there to pick me up. If I think I can stand, He's there to humble me. Be careful lest you think you stand and you fall. Right? So you need to make sure that you have this hope that comes from God. Not a tangible hope. Not a hope that you can make work. The hope that we have comes from God. It comes out of this world that is a supernatural hope. That, where's that this Thessalonians? We do not mourn as those who have no hope. But we believe that Jesus Christ rose again. And if He rose again, He's coming back. That's my hope. My hope is not in this world. It's of nothing in this world. So this is where we're going to be going today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll be picking up where we left off last week, Lord willing. Father, take my weakness, Lord, and make it strong. I pray that as we open up the Word of God today, that You would take my thoughts and turn them into Your words. Father, that I would decrease ever the more, that You would increase all the more. Lord, that Your Word would be heard, that I would disappear inside of the Scripture, Lord God. And Your name would always be glorified. Lord, we thank You for that. We do thank You for the gathering of believers, Lord Jesus. And You told us that You were on the outside of the church. You were on the outside knocking, asking to come in. And if any man would ask, would open the door to You, that You would come and You would sup with him. Lord, I pray that even now as I'm thinking about this, I open the door of my complete being, that You would fellowship with me. Lord, that we could sit together at the same table and we could enjoy the fullness of Your presence. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for that and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. True hope that charity proves or provides is a hope with a real substance. It's a reality that is proven not simply by wishing for something, but it is a personal, profound, has a personally profound outcoming, right? It's proven, it's profound, that God said it, that settles it. My hope is in His Word. My hope is in His death, His burial, His resurrection, His coming again. My hope is never held in anything I can do or say. Because I don't know about you, but I let myself down continually, right? When I think I can do something, I find out that I really can't. And when I start to think that I really can do something, or I've got something really under control, I realize that I'm never really in control. It's all God, right? Yeah, I think I'm driving the horse, but really and truly it has nothing to do with me except my ever desire and obedience to Him. My hope again, is in Jesus. My hope is absolutely in Christ. Our hope has to be that way. And how do we know that this hope is something with substance? Because He has been faithful throughout the Word of God. When He told Abraham, I will make you a great nation, when he was way beyond childbearing years, when Sarah was way beyond childbearing years, He gave him a son. And that son became the 12 tribes, and the 12 tribes now, indeed, truly, is filling up as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. His word holds true. In the Old Testament, he said there's scripture saying that God's coming, that he will bruise the head of the serpent, crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. He promised that. Guess what? It happened. The seed of the woman would come to life. You know, women don't have seed, right? They got eggs. So the seed of the woman, it was God implanting himself inside of a human being, that Jesus would be born outside of the sin nature. And guess what? It happened. Amen. Just the way it was supposed to happen. So everything he has said, we can count on as true. So my hope is never within myself. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 puts it this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? By my hope in my faith in Jesus Christ. That's the it he's talking about. For by it the elders obtained a good report. How do you get a good report? By believing in Jesus Christ and having your hope in Him. Not in believing in yourself, not believing in the government, not believing in anything that this world has to provide. My hope rests in Christ Jesus. And if you truly have a desire for that, He will change you. And remember, hope is an attribute that is given to you as you walk in the first 11 understandings of charity. All right? Now, catching this, remember the first 11 attributes of Christ that are in charity. That is something that we need to discipline ourselves into. I need to suffer longer. I need to put up with more stuff. All right? I need to be kind. Jesus will not make you kind, but if you strive to be kind, guess what? You will be. But it's a discipline. I've got to try to do it. Because in and of my own nature, I am not a kind person. I'm really not. I tell you to talk to some folks, but I don't want you to know that more than I'm just telling you. I'm not as kind as what I may appear to be on Sunday morning. I'm a little bit rash. Right? I'm a little bit cut to the quick, and I say things. I don't know about y'all. Does anybody have a problem with just saying snappy stuff? Like, real quick? I'm not really thinking about it. I'm not really praying about it. But bam! There I go. That's not kind. Okay. My wife will look at me and say, really, Pastor? And so, vaunting myself, being braggadocious, I have that problem. When I do something and I do it well, I like a pat on the back. And nobody pats my back better than me. Right? That's why God gave me such long arms. Anyhow, I need not to do that. And as I strive not to do that, then I become not puffed up. Less puffed up. And all of these things, they are disciplines, discipleship movements, moving in the fullness of the Spirit of God. He adds these things. He brings them to your heart and your mind, and makes you not as braggadocious as you used to be. He makes you more temperate than what you used to be as you exercise these 16. And so anyhow, reading through them, suffers long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not, is not puffed up, does not behave unseemly, seeks not her own, all right, is not easily provoked. I'm still working on that one. Is not easily proved. Thinks no evil. I'm still working on that one. Okay? Or God's still. I've not made it there yet. I guess that's what I'm saying. Rejoices not in iniquity. I'm really having a hard time with that one. Rejoicing not in iniquity. Or, because I look. And when I think of that particular scripture, rejoices not in iniquity, when I see somebody who's doing bad and bad things are happening to them, I think about that woman in the Russian prison, basketball player, hates America. Yeah. All right. And I'm just confessing this to you because God's pricking my heart about it. I need to quit saying, yeah, you're getting what you deserve. That's rejoicing in iniquity. She's being hurt, all right? And I should not be there with that. Okay, and that's just a conviction that God's given me that I haven't made it. It's one of those humbling things. But as I grow into that, I will be better equipped to have the other parts of charity working or producing fruit in my life. Things like bears all things. You know, as you have these first 11 attributes of Christ working in you, then you can bear it. You can put up with it better than what you used to. All right, you'll be able to believe all things. We talked about that. There's some things to believe in, other things not to believe in. I do believe everything that the Word of God says. Every single word in this book is true. And some Joshua's told me many, many times, even if you don't believe it, it doesn't change the truth of it, man. No, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter. Your belief doesn't change the reality of God's righteousness, right? And so, in that, always holding on to those things. And then hoping all things. And this is where we're at today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. If you want a good report, if you want the hope of the fathers, you need to be walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you can be holy? You know that? I'm not saying sinless. I'm not saying that you'll ever be sinless in this place, because John tells us if you say you have no sin, then you make God a liar. Because, and again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every man seeks his own way. So I can't say that you'll be sinless, but I can say that you can be more holy tomorrow than what you are today. Continual sanctification, being washed by the water of the Word, believing the Word of God in such a manner that you apply it to your life individually, every day, every part of the day, right? And, you know, you get better at that the more you do it. It's kind of like writing in cursive. Anybody first remember when you learned how to write in cursive? It was horrible. I still do. In fact, I was told that I was meant to be a doctor because I got the handwriting first. And so, anyhow, but the more you practice it, the better you get. So, again, in these acts of charity, these attributes of charity, the more you do it, the better you get. And as you get better, then you can bear all things, you can believe all things, and then you start hoping all things. The hope that the elders, our forefathers, had was based not on their good works, but they were based on the everlasting word, living Word of God. What God said that He will do. It tells us in Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 28, the last sentence of that verse, says, the word which I have spoken shall be done. Do you believe that? The word that God speaks is going to be done. My hope is in that. Regardless of what I see, regardless of the political scene, regardless of anything that's going on in this world, the craziness, all of the same-sex stuff and transgender stuff, what God said is where all of my hope is. God said there will be one man, one woman. Guess how many genders there are? I'll give you a clue. It's not real high. It's a small number. He says there is but how many ways to get to the Father? One. One way to get to the Father, one male, one female. All right? Pretty simple. Regardless of what science says, and science will have you believe other things or try to make you believe it. God says that you were created in the image and likeness of God. My hope is that I will be in that image and likeness of God someday. My hope is this, that someday this corruption will put on incorruption. Wow. Someday this sinner that's standing before you talking to you today, one day will be sinless. Praise God. I am excited about that day. My hope is in that. My hope's not in this. And you know, as much as I love my wife and she loves me, my hope is not in her. All right, now I love her and I have great faith in her, right? She has great faith in me. But our faith in each other is because we both have faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is going to hold her Amen? He's going to keep her. And I don't have to train her up in the way she should go. God's going to do that. I got to love her in the way she is until I change. Right? Because I can't love her until she changes. I can't change her, no matter what I do. But what I can do is I can change me. I can walk in these attributes. And as I change, as God changes me and helps me to have this great hope that someday I will be in the image and the likeness of God, someday He's coming back and He's going to judge me by every word that came out of my mouth, especially from behind the pulpit. Because a pastor has a stricter judgment than other folks, teachers and pastors. My hope is that what God says He will do, that was the same hope that our forefathers had. This is one thing that you can really count on. All humans are going to fail you. Do you know that? As much as you see me up here on Sunday, sooner or later, if I have not hurt your feelings yet, I will. I am going to fail you. Not that I want to, but you're going to have an expectation of me that I'm not able to reach. Right? I'm going to have an expectation of you that you're not going to be able to. That's okay. See, my hope's not in you, and your hope's not in me. My hope is I have an expectation of the holiness of God, right? And I'm going to strive for that hope. If you try to be just as good as me, you have way missed the shot. Okay, you need to back up, put your bullet back in your gun, right? And reload that thing one more time, because I am not the goal you need to reach. You need to be made into the image and the likeness of Christ, and my hope is in that. Again, we talked about this scripture a little bit on last Sunday, Psalm 20 and verse 7. My brother, I had it in my mind, my brother said it out to me. Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I got into that. Wait a second. Where's my hope going to be? In the name of the Lord our God. And then I got looking into the names of God. I got, my brother, that's a whole different sermon. But you go back and you look in the names of God, the identities of God, who He is, how the forefathers, how the early brethren thought of God or knew God as, and you see their hope was in the God that always sees. Their hope was in the God of salvation. Their hope was. And I have these written down, but I do not speak Hebrew, so I'm not going to try. Right? There's a lot of folks that get all big and say, oh, I know all this Hebrew. I barely talk American. I cannot speak Hebrew. Right? So I'm not going to go there. But we do know one thing, and one thing's for sure. I'm not going to trust in the chariots of this world. I'm not going to trust in the horses of this world. I'm not going to trust in the armies of this world. I'm not going to trust in the money of this world. I'm not going to trust in the people of this world. What I will trust in is remembering who God is. I'm going to remember who God is. And you know something? One of the greatest names I know of God is He is faithful. God is faithful. He cannot lie. He will never lead you astray. He will never tell you an untruth. So if you hear something that it ain't true, guess what? It ain't from God. And you, something else, He's not going to lead you outside of the confines of this Bible right here. Well, if you've got a King James, it'll be your Bible too. He will not lead you outside of the confines of Scripture. When He says, do not have sexual relationships until you're married. What does that mean? Keep it zipped up. Do not even go down that road. Don't pursue that. You know why? Because you need that for your bride someday. That's the thing. Women, the same thing. I'm telling this to old folks. We've all got kids here. That's come and gone. But we have grandchildren, right? We have children. And we need to bring that into... We need to have the Word of God written on the doorpost of our house where we can remind them, hey, John, you're going out today. You're going to be watched by God. You're going to. So God knows who you are. He loves you. He's guiding you into all righteousness. Dads, tell your kids that. Tell that. And I don't watch much TV. This is an old commercial. So anyhow, There's a commercial about a young lady who had a real short mini skirt, white mini skirt. And dad sees it hanging on the line. He says, my daughter ain't wearing that. He unhooks it and he takes it, walks it up, throws it in the garbage. He says, they got it. She'll never wear that again. Mom goes and pulls it out of the garbage, washes it again, and makes it white because he rubbed dirt on it, and Tide makes it whiter than any other white can make. Or what, that was the theme of the commercial. But the girl comes walking down the stairs wearing that same skirt. What just happened in that commercial?
Yeah. Yep.
What happened there?
Rebellious to fathers.
Rebellion from the wife and from the child. Now, if that man would have been a man of God, he would say, sweetheart, I love you. You're not going out dressed as a tart. You're going to go right back up those stairs. Mom, you're going to go take that skirt off of her and you're going to throw that away. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what's lacking in the homes today. We don't have that type of hope anymore, of holiness and righteousness. Preach that in another church, they almost threw me out. But that's okay if they would have. I'd rather be thrown out because I spoke the truth and be accepted because I made you feel good. I'm not here to make you feel good. 1 Thessalonians, along that same line, chapter 5, verse 20 says, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Glory to God. The one who called you into a relationship with him, he is going to be the one that gives you the ability to walk in the holiness he has provided until you get there. You know that? Because you're not going to just arrive. You get, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm there. No. All right? You came to know that there's a God that loves you. And he's going to lead, guide, and direct you and make you a disciple if you're willing to learn. And if you're willing to be a disciple, he will guide you into the first 16 attributes, or the first 11 attributes of the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the charity chapter. He's going to lead you into those first 11 and tell you, this is what I expect out of you because this is who I am. And as you become that, you all of a sudden can bear all things, believe all things, you can hope all things. Then things start happening on the external because it's already happened on the internal. It's a way of growth. It's a way I use this expression, or picture also. Who here's ever lifted weights to get all beefed up? I'm here to talk to you all. Right? Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Lou Fregno, or whoever, all those big muscle guys, they didn't start out that way. You know what? They were all really pretty scrawny kids at one time. Do a hula hoop with a Cheerio. Skinny little scrawny kids. You know what they did? Is they put the time and the effort in to change their internal parts that their external parts would glorify themselves. Right? God wants to give us the Holy Spirit to guide us into how much truth? All truth. And to remind us of everything that Jesus did. So as we take the Word of God, start believing it, we take these attributes of God, start applying them, all of a sudden stuff starts coming up on the outside of you that you've already believed on the inside of you. Right? Muscles don't start on the outside, they start on the inside. Good nutrition starts on the inside of you. It's gut health. And when you get gut health, all those things start to change and work for you. So this gift of hope that we have, the hope that never fails, is because I have seen his faithfulness even in my lack of faithfulness. He is always faithful. If he said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, he is faithful. And Lamentations 3 and 24 through 26. He says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Alright. Can you believe that? What a hope he has. Now remember, this is Jeremiah. He's in Babylon. He's hated by the whole church. Nobody wants to listen to what this guy says. Alright? And so the Lord is my portion, even when everybody else hates me, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. All right, 25. The Lord is good unto all, unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26. It is good that a man both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. All right? Catch these words out that he's just said. All right? The Lord is my portion, says my most inner soul. God is my substance. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He is everything I need. All right? That's what my inside. Because he is everything, he's my portion, he's everything I need. Therefore, because of that reason, I'm going to hope in him. How about you? Are you at that point now? Is God your portion? Are you so willing to hope in him that you don't need the external stimulants of this world? Do you know that you can live just fine without Facebook? We did it for years, right? I ran a very successful business before cell phones. In fact, I had a little answering machine when I got home, right? You can record it, a little tape on there, you can record the messages and stuff. Anybody remember those? Right? When you had to dial the phone? Anyhow. My hope isn't in any of the technology of today. My hope is in Christ. He's my portion. The world food supply is going to run out. Who's going to feed me? It's going to be manna from heaven. Amen? Who's going to give me water? It'll be water from the rock. When all of the money and the crypto garbage that they're putting out there, when all of that fails and the world says you've got to take a mark on your hand or on your forehead to buy, sell, or trade, where are you going to get it from? If your hope is in that, that's where you're going to go. And if you do that, you will go to hell. All right? Let that settle in for a moment. But if you trust in Jesus Christ, guess what? I don't know what you'll be eating, but you will have something. By the grace of God, I harvested 2 rabbits. Alright? You know what that cost me? The cost of 2 pellets.
Think, think.
Easy. And they ate good. Didn't they, Justin? Did you eat yours, Justin? Yeah. Alright. Praise God. And so, you see, God will supply. He will supply. And, I mean, there's just so many things to eat out there. I don't really need the grocery store. You know that? Who turned me into hogweed? It was you, wasn't it? Yeah. Right? And it tastes, if you ever saw it, you would not think it, you'd think it's a weed. But it is one of the most nutritious plants that grows out there. It's also known as goose's foot. Hogweed, goose's foot, same thing. You pull it up out of your garden, you throw it down because you don't think it is anything. It has a salty taste. You don't even have to put season on it. It's good right out of the earth. And it has more vitamins in it than any. And my hope is in that more than my hope is in Wegmans. You see where I'm coming at here? I don't trust in the things of this world. Wegmans is going to run out of food. But there's a weed right out there that you can eat that will feed you just fine. Dandelions. Good food. Great nutrition. Make you strong like us. Smell like one too. So any of their mustard greens. There's all kinds of stuff that you can just eat that are just out there. Anyhow, but my soul is going to wait on good. The Lord is good unto all, unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh out him. Excuse me, I added a word, that seeketh him. Verse 26, it is good that a man both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. See, my hope is there, and I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to force it. I'm going to sit, and I'm going to wait, stand still, and see the hand of God. Isn't that what Moses told the Israelites when the Pharaoh was coming behind them, Red Sea was before them? They were going to get killed, slaughtered. And he said, stand still, and see the hand of God. Your hope has to be in being still and seeing God's hand work. Do you really know that God has the power still to separate the seas? To give you a dry ground to walk on into safety, even when the government behind you is going to kill you and the world civilian population in front of you hates you so much because you trust in God. You know what God will do? He says, I'm going to get right in the middle of that. And right in the middle of the world, I'm going to separate that stuff out and you're going to walk on dry ground.
Amen.
You're going to get through this. When you get to the other side and the armies of the world are going to come over you, I'm going to drown them in the world. I'm going to just cover them up. That's where my hope lies. That's why I'm really looking forward for those days When I see God providing in a way that I have not understood Him to provide yet, but I have hope that He will. In fact, I know He will. How do I know? Because He did it in the past. My forefathers wrote it in a book that I can know that He would do these things, that He'll meet us there. But my hope, again, is not in chariots, is not in horses, as I am remembering who God is. I'm remembering His name. Our hope, our trust, our faith should never be in this world system, but in the name of the Lord our God. Thus, we grow in confidence as we look into the hope, all right? And we're looking forward to the hope. And the reason I know that we have a hope out there is because the folks behind me had a hope, and their hope was made full. You can't have that unless you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't have that kind of hope. You know, if you really have that kind of hope, you don't need all of these drugs that the doctor's pushing on you. You know that? Bonnie can testify to that. Right? All of the Zomax, Zoloft, Zippity-Doo-Dah stuff, all those things that they tell you on the TV commercials late at night. And go to your doctor, and he'll give you some of this kind of stuff, and yeah, it'll make you feel better, but your toes are going to grow into hooves, and you're going to have horns coming out of your ear. I don't know, they tell you all these things that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, your liver's going to turn into a rock, but you're going to be happy about it. All right? If you really trust God, our hope being in Him, we can rest and not faint. We can rest and not worry. We don't have to fret about all of these things that we're having to take medication for. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're diabetic, take your diabetic medicine. If you have reasons to be medicated, be medicated. But don't have your mind altered by the pharmakia of today simply because you don't trust the Word of God. All right? Because there are sometimes, if you've got high blood pressure, please take your high blood pressure medicine. Right? We already got a small church. Folks start dying. I don't want to do funerals. You know, I really don't. And so, anyhow, when Paul was thinking of this great hope, he wrote of Abraham's faith and Abraham's hope in Romans chapter 4, 17 through 18. All right? And he puts it this way. As it is written, he's talking about Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not, though they were, who against hope believed in hope. Against all hope, he believed in hope. Now, remember what he's talking about. He's talking about Abraham having a child. Abraham was like 100 years old, 99 years old, 100 years old. He wasn't making babies. It just natural thing. Sarah, she was well past. And as you know, when a female is born, they only have so many eggs, right? And she was way past that time. Right? Everything had dried up. But God said, even though it's dried in you, I'm going to make it grow.
Amen.
And he believed it, even when there was no hope. He believed it enough to walk by faith, and then God made it happen. See, our hope, his hope wasn't in his ability. His hope was in God's ability to do the things which seem impossible. He made it possible. But if Abraham hadn't walked by faith, that would have never happened to him or for him. But as he had hope in the God who called him, he became the father of many nations. He believed enough to walk in the hope that was given to him by the God who created him. As that song says, my hope rests in nothing less than Jesus' blood, his righteousness. I dare not trust that sweetest frame, but I wholly trust in Jesus' name. The only hope that will last through these tough times, through the times that we're living in right now, is the hope held in Christ Jesus. Because he never fails. There is nothing we're facing today that he will not see us through and to. He's going to make his word never returns void. Joel 3:16b, the latter part of 3:16 says, the Lord will be the hope of his people. Amen. Praise God. He will be the hope of his people and the strength of his people. Where does my strength come from? It comes because I trust, I hope in God. My trust, my hope is in him. He is, like he told Abram, he would be his shield and his buckler. I'm going to cover you. I got your trousers held up, your buckle, right? I got all that stuff taken care of. I am your shield. I will be the one who quenches the fiery darts of Satan. I'll be your helmet of salvation. You can know me, the righteousness of God. I will be the sandals, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. That is hoping in Jesus Christ. The shield of faith, that is hoping in Jesus Christ. The word of God, right? And that is Jesus Christ. You, my hope, everything we ought to hope is him, not in and of myself. I can't even hope that tomorrow I'm going to wake up without his grace to wake me up. Praise God. The Lord woke me up early this morning. I got here about 3:45 this morning. Spent a lot of time right here on my face in prayer. Lord, keep me awake. Lord, no. No, my hope is in him. Our hope must be in him. Acts 26, verses 6 and 7 says, I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise. Amen. This is Peter talking about, is it Peter or Paul? No, this is Paul. Paul in Acts 26, verse 6 and 7. I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto the fathers, right? Remember we looked at that the fathers had hope. This is the hope that Paul is being judged for the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. All right, so Paul standing before the King Agrippa, and he's saying, listen, I am hoping in the promise of God. My hope is that Jesus Christ would come, that the Messiah would come, that he would die for the sins of people. My hope is in that. And because I hope in that, people hate me for it. I've done no wrong, King Agrippa. I didn't do anything that they said that I was going to do, except tell them that the hope that we were waiting for has come. He was willing to die for that hope. And he did. But you know the Greek thing? His hope became sight. His faith became sight. The moment they took his head off, he saw God. In fact, he saw God many times during his life. So what do we hope in? Now our hope, if it's in this world system, you have a dead hope. Nothing in this world is what it seems to be. You know that? Everything that we think is real is just an image of the realness that it is. The colors that we see, I have hope in this, that when I see God, I'm going to see colors that I have never seen before. And when I see God, I'm going to hear songs I've never heard. Music, composition of sound. That I have never been able to comprehend. My mind could not do it. I'm going to see glory. My hope is that I will see the glory of God. I want to see the glory of God more than I want to see my grandparents. I want to see my grandparents. I love them. I want to see my dad. You know, I do. I believe he's in heaven. I want to see that. But even more than that, I want to see the glory, the truth, the living word. My hope's there. If my parents are there, praise God. If they ain't, praise God. I mean, that sounds harsh. But what they did, what they didn't do, has nothing to do with me now. I hope that their hope was in Christ Jesus, because if their hope was in Christ Jesus, I know they're there. But I don't know what their hope was. Right? Even if they said they had it, I don't know they had it. All, and I can't help you guys about that. All I can do is talk about myself. I want my hope to be firmly grounded in the Word of God in such a way I do not doubt anything that the Word of God says.
He's coming. He's coming again.
Paul writing to the church of Colossians. Go over there because I don't want to chop this up. Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Okay, verse 3. And we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ and your love which you have all to all the saints, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore ye heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. That's what we're talking about, and these act, this charity, these 60, that fruit of understanding the hope that is in you. The hope which is, verse 6, which has come to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Right? Do you know those things? If you know those things, you have hope in these things. And if you hope in these things, you will not be ashamed. You won't be, because your hope, some, your faith, someday, your hope, what you hope, you hope in this. You, because remember, our hope is not grasping at the wind. Our hope is holding on to the hem of His garment. My hope is holding on to the Word. My healing comes from this. My understanding comes from this. I have a biblical worldview. It didn't take millions and billions of years to create this earth. It took 6 literal days. And then He kicked His feet up for a day to show us how to rest. Amen. What a glorious thing. My hope is that that's true. My hope isn't that I came out of a gorilla somewhere a gazillion million years ago. My hope is that someday I will be made in the image and the likeness of the Most High God. My hope is it's all in Jesus. And yours has to be that too. If you want your hope to come true, because we have a hope that is not easily shaken. In the same chapter there, moving down, verse 23 puts it this way. If ye continue in the faith, right? Big word right there, if. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Do you have that hope? Do you have the hope enough to continue in it? Are you willing to push forward into the fullness of God, into the fullness of His righteousness? Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, my flesh, for His body's sake, which is the church. So my hope is all into the reconciliation of Christ for the church. My hope is that, my hope is in my faith. And my faith is in Christ Jesus. It's not in anything that I can see, anything that's physically tangible that I can touch, that I can feel. But what I can see about my hope and my faith is how it lives in the individual that has trusted Jesus Christ. I can see it in Alan and his walk. I can see it in Joshua and Kevin and Justin. I can see God moving in such great ways. And my hope is that He's going to continue working in you until that day. Until that day where that hope becomes sight. That faith becomes sight. And when we get there, in we are taught by Jesus Christ when he shows us all of the secrets of this age, all the secrets of this earth that he created. When he shows us really beyond the scars of the cross into the reality of the compassion of God. Because right now all we can see is the scars. Right now all we can think of is the blood. But our hope isn't just in that, but it's in the coming of Jesus Christ. My hope isn't that he died on the cross. There's a proof he died on the cross. My hope isn't that he saved me from his death on the cross. I know that happened. You know what my hope is? When he comes again, I will be found in him. The other's past tense. I know he died for my sin. I know he rose from the grave. I know that. That's not my hope. That's a fact. If I have a fact, I don't need a hope. My hope is that when he comes, and I hope he's coming, I have faith that he's coming, when he is, amen, he is. There's a confidence in that. Because he said he was going to die. He said he was going to raise again. I've told you these things before they happened that you might know. So all these things that he said in the past, all of the things from Genesis all the way through to the Revelation, all those things he said, our forefathers wrote down when the Spirit of God moved on holy men and they wrote all those things. I believe every bit of them, and my hope is founded in that faith. It's not founded in anything on this earth. It's not founded on nothing that the temporal world can promise, because the eternal world has so much more. More color, more beauty, more music, more love. Oh, imagine this, folks. Here's a great hope. A place where there is no hate. Kenya. No bigotry, no hatred. Not on this earth, but there's a time coming. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're black, white, tall, short, fat, you know, skinny. He doesn't care about none of the rich, poor. He absolutely don't care about that. What he does care is about our love one for another. And we love each other with the grasping of the eternal hope of salvation. So that's hope. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. My hope is that I'm believing in the Christ. We are kept by the power of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Wow. You got that hope? I got that hope, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we should be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, amen, if you've got that hope, in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Did you catch that? I want to purify myself even as he is pure, because I have a hope that someday when he appears, I'm going to be like him. Someday I'm going to be spotless, even though this spot-filled sinner, right, is striving for perfection, although I know I'll never make it. That doesn't make me... A couple things I know I'll never do. I'm never going to run a 3-minute mile. Never. Not going to happen. I doubt I'll run a 3-minute 100-yard dash. I know how I run. But the one thing I do know, that I do hope, that I do have faith in, is that he's going to appear. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. And this sinner that is so filled with the ugliness of this world will be made instantly pure. And that's where my hope's at. Amen? There's coming a day when this carcass will be laid to rest. Amen, Justin? One day, this body of sin is going to be done. Go ahead.
Can I take you back to Acts 26?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to just take you a little bit further. You read it from 7 to, or 6 and 7?
Yeah.
I'm picking it up at 7.
Okay.
Under which promise the 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be a thought, a credible thing with you, that God should raise the dead? Our God is alive.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So what, I mean, why should it even come to a shock to us? See, this hope that every believer has is not a physical hope. It's eternal, eternal confidence in Christ and what He did. It is a gift of God. This is something, as you walk in charity, as you discipline your heart for it, all of a sudden you have a hope that goes way beyond understanding. You have a hope that, a confidence in things not seen. Right? Isn't that Hebrews 11, right? Faith is the safe substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So next week, by the grace of God, we're going to move past hope into the next step of charity, the next movement of charity, which is endures all things. I got to work on this one. Because as I look at endures all things, I don't. Amen. And before I can teach it and preach it right, I got to get better. Amen. God's got it. So pray for me this next week as I get into study, as I get into to the understanding what God wants out of enduring all things, that I change during that study. That I'll be able to present it properly and maybe give you faith to endure all things also. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful that you have met us here today. Father, we are hopeful for the promises that are in your word. Lord, we have a sure-founded faith because you said it. And if you said it, you'll do it. So, Father, help us to walk in the assurity of the hope that is still laid before us. That someday we will be like you. Father, change us from who we are into who you would have us to be. Teach us to trust your word. Teach us, Father, to adjust these fragile lives into the cornerstone of Christ, built on that foundation, Lord God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Christ's name. Love you guys. Head out next week and be strong. It's a week strong. We can get it.